Hello everyone. Today we're here with Michele Cinque, director of the documentary film Juventa. My name is Rachel Johnson. I'm a lecturer in film studies at the University of Leeds, and I'm delighted to be your host for this interview. The interview is part of a project funded by the Ignite Fund, which is given by the Cultural Institute at the University of Leeds. The project itself is called Challenging National and Social Imaginaries in Cinematic Art. Last night we had a screening of the film, of Juventa, with an excellent panel discussion and more of a discussion with Michele Cinque. So we're very excited to be going in much more depth today in this full-length interview. So Michele, why did you decide to shoot a documentary film instead of, say, a feature film about this issue?
Okay, so I was always interested by reality since I was at school, I would say, since I was studying, and I always perceived the form of documentary as very powerful in terms of social impacts and in terms of really opening windows on the world where journalism often cannot actually go so deep in that situation. So I always thought that reality many times overcomes fiction, and I believe really on the social impacts of documentary, and this is demonstrated by various cases around the world how films have had an impact on reality. And so, as I was saying, nowadays I think journalism seems not enough to tell reality, and at least because the journalism doesn't have the same amount of funding and time to dedicate to one story. And as a documentary filmmaker, if you are lucky, you stay 2 years or 3 years after a story. If you are not lucky, you can stay 7 or 8 years following your ideas and your intuitions. And I think this is it's a luxury. Somehow, as in this world of running always so fast, and I really also maybe I love documentaries because you can do it alone, and this is also another really important, I think, issue related to the form of filming. When you are on a fiction film, you have a huge crew, and your work is more about dealing with human resources and with psychological issues, and when you are on a documentary, especially like an observational documentary like Juventa is, you are really you, your emotion, and the camera, and you have to. I mean, there are few decisions that makes the film, and I really, I don't know, I feel it as a jazz music. If you want to do a kind of a parallel with music. On documentary, it's really the improvisational part that makes it somehow, at least in an observational documentary, improvisation it's really important. But also as jazz, you can improvise only if you know the music a little bit. So, and then I think, last but not least, the political side of documentary filmmaker, I think the camera used to tell reality is a very powerful tool, and it's almost you can influence thousands and thousands and millions of people around the world with such a personal story and with your time and with your film. So I think we kind of have a responsibility as documentary filmmakers, because we have this luxury to go deep in the stories, and not many people have that.
Fantastic. Yeah, so I'm seeing these kind of two lines of, the freedom and the different style in terms of the production of the film, and then maybe the other side, which is like we were talking about previously, the distribution of how you can have a real political impact. Mm-hmm. Perhaps then we could talk a bit about your experience of filming Juventa, the balance perhaps between the practical constraints of filming, how that may have influenced some of the, for example, stylistic and aesthetic choices that you had to make on the ground, or if you had to make some of these decisions during editing. You know, what was this process for you of staying with the ship?
Yeah, I mean, this film was a really crazy production, improvised, let's say, situation, because I was late to the party, as sometimes I used to say, because I realized I had an eureka moment when I read this story on the news, and it was just 15 days before the ship would leave to the first mission in open sea, and I really got a eureka moment, saying, okay, this is the film I want to do. Is my next film. I was, you know, sometimes you, as a documentary filmmaker, you're looking for stories from reality, but it's not that you are sitting at your computer and writing something coming from your you know, fantasy or your imagination, but you do it more, you're really influenced by reality. So I arrived in Malta because I phoned immediately after reading the news. I wrote an email, and then the next morning I phoned to the guys of Ugarit, and I asked them, is anybody doing a film? And they said, on your story, and they said no. And so I said, okay, I want to do it, I'm the one. And then like 6 days after, I was in Malta on the Juventa, and they always told me, you never gonna come with us on the first mission. And I said, if there is no first mission, there is no film for me. And then I arrived there, I met the guys, and they realized I wasn't a media, a normal media person, that I had a more deeper project on the topic, and they invited me 5 minutes before the ship would leave. So, and I didn't have much preparation in terms of everything, in terms of equipment, in terms of dialogue with my, with all my allies. I have a team of people. When I say I'm alone, always behind the camera, but there is the editor that usually is really important in such films, and other and the producers. And so I really had to make the decision in 5 minutes whether to jump on the ship or not. Of course, it was already made decision. I was there and I need to go. And so, like, in I have everything of this is to tell because I had just 1 hour of signal, of mobile phone signal, before going in open sea. And I spent that hour, apart from 2 minutes with my parents, I spent that hour with my editor, and we were discussing which are the choices to make, to try to make this a proper film. And so the choices, the stylistic choices, was do long shots, like as much as possible, try to be invisible, choose 3 characters maximum and follow them and be with them. And so, I mean, I really realized that I had very few choices to tell the story on the ship, especially I'm speaking about the 18 days of shooting on the ship with all the emergency situation that came out. And I had these, choices of I really try to be as much as possible invisible, and I think also something that helped me a lot in this was because I didn't speak German, and they were speaking German all the time, so this made me it's a strange like human mechanism, I think, that if you don't understand the language, they don't care about you, basically. But of course I would record it, and then I had in the editing, that was really the craziest thing, because we had 350 hours of German speaking material, and we had to over sound it because we didn't have time, because we had to make the film ready as fast as possible. We didn't have time to write down all the sentences, and then so everything was really creative in this film, and from the production support, because in this moment, which I'm speaking about, when I was on the ship, I was only with my money and didn't have Rai Cinema, didn't have ZDF, didn't have the German co-producer, and didn't have all the backup that after came in the project. So I had many choices in terms of narrative to do it afterwards on editing, but I think the most important choices were when I was filming, like really doing long shots, really not... And also, it was crazy because I was filming without understanding what they were saying, what my protagonists were saying. And this is also something that made me go on another level of understanding. Like I was interpreting their gestures, their their expressions, and maybe sometimes wrong, but most of the time I realized I was right. To all true that I didn't understand the words, I understood that was important to film. So I think was really an experiment that was successful somehow, also because the film had an impact because the ship was seized, and this made the film also immediately, suddenly, very, very much more important that if the ship wouldn't be stopped by the authorities.
Yeah, and I would say it was a very, very successful experiment. Maybe to focus on one particular kind of part of the filming that really struck me, and I was really wondering how you were doing it. Some of the scenes that are actually on the dinghies during the actual, rescues, there are some where it looks like there's maybe almost like a GoPro, a camera on someone's head. There's a really, really surprising one from an aesthetic perspective where it feels like the camera's in the bottom of the boat, and we're seeing from a very low angle people being pulled onto the boat, which is really, visually striking. I was just wondering what was behind your decision making for those scenes. How were you on any of these boats, or?
I couldn't jump in on these boats with my camera because, of course, I would occupy one seat, and that wasn't possible. So I had 7 GoPros because 2 I had from my equipment, and all the guys, like all the people on the ship, they had many GoPros. So they gave it to me, and I kind of studied a way to film with GoPros. Like I imagined, so I had to position every day like 7 GoPros, change the cards all through my 2 cameras I had. So like. And that day, the scene you are talking about, it was also some kind of lucky because someone had the angle was really like from upside from down to the sky, and we had that rescue of women that was so, I think it's powerful, the angle of the camera, but it's extremely powerful how the rescuers are caring for the people they rescue, for the woman they rescue, and they are really so gentle and so sweet that you don't expect that in that emergency you can have that sweetness and of gestures. And I think this came from for me, that's the most important part, that we catch that single moment that makes a scene, like sometimes you ask yourself, is this a scene for the film? And it's some dialogue with my editors are always on this topic. The scene is something that makes the story go on somehow and makes you understand more about it, about the protagonist, about the part you are doing. And that moment is exactly that. It's long one shot. And we decided also on editing, we had many hours of GoPro footage. And we said, okay, usually the GoPros are used as action cameras. So they are always like 2 seconds, 2 seconds, 2 seconds, always cutting, like the editing is very, very fast. And we decided actually to do the opposite. Like the GoPros, we use it as a long sequences. And these, I think, made you also kind of really be there on the dinghies. And that's what we wanted. That's what we tried to achieve with this technique of editing.
Yeah, fantastic. And it sounds like what you're getting at kind of implicitly is precisely this power of the documentary film in between kind of, well, above journalism and the fiction film. So you've got the in situ GoPro, kind of very realistic, but you've made these choices to have longer shots and what felt overall almost like a slower cinema and a slower film.
Yeah, I think it's important. Documentary filmmaking, there are many forms of it. And I really like, on, for example, I love Wiseman film because he was another like lonely documentary filmmaker, shooting everything alone with the sound equipment on his back and the camera on his shoulder and going in these crazy hospitals in US with mad people or other kind of films that he made that are so impacting. I think when you are alone, you really can kind of crack the reality. You can really, if you are able to establish a direct human contact with the people, you are able to do things that if you are 2, 3, 4, or 5 people, you cannot really do.
Yeah, that, it feels like there really is that human element coming through. And it felt like Juventus is a very, a very sensitive film and a very kind of humanist film, interested in human stories. So I know at the screening last night, one of the things I mentioned that you responded to in a very interesting way was the fact that, for me, this was a film that, as well as telling the story, or maybe through telling the story of Juventa and Jugendrettet, created an almost counterbalancing representation of the so-called migrant crisis and migration. Mm-hmm. It had some very interesting, very self-aware moments, including in its representation of the people who were being rescued. It showed people having conversations. It got away from that image just as of migrants as people who are just these suffering bodies that we see certainly very often in the media. One scene that I was really impressed by, that I felt really spoke to the self-awareness of your film, was when the crew, and in particular the photographer, Cesar, meets up with some of the people that they'd saved and was showing them the photos taken on the ship during the first rescue mission. And one of them, at the prospect of seeing this photo of himself, is kind of laughing and he's doing this gesture, a kind of ironic imitation of himself huddled in a rescue blanket, which is the media image of the migrant being rescued. Whereas you caught his response to that, and it seemed to speak to me a bit about the counter-narrative that your film was producing.
Yes, thank you. It wasn't easy. We have such a stereotype narrative on the media, and I think that made. I know all the weak points of Juventa film, but this is, of course, it's a very powerful. Good point of the film, because usually the rescued people doesn't speak. And if they speak about suffering and pain, because it's how, usually the media, with such a slow and short time of being with them, are usually portraying these people. But actually, I wanted to make a film about dreams. I didn't want to make a film about migration. And that I started from the dreams of a bunch of students from Germany and from all over Europe, and which was dreams of having a more equal Europe, and that didn't leave people die at the doorsteps of the countries. And so I started from their dreams of changing the world, I would say, And I immediately realized when I was on the deck of the Juventa that dreams were clashing, like that these people would speak about dreams like and desires and human, you know, and these I think made them real. Real in terms of human beings and not only migrants and not only refugees and not only suffering people. They are people who have desires. They are people who have dreams, and probably their dream, they are stick to their dreams for so many times. I mean, people when we met them on the Juventa, they started the journey maybe 4 years before, and only a dream made them pass through the hell on earth that is Libya and the desert and the tortures and the, you know, violations and so. And then they were open on the deck of the Juventa to speak about their dreams and what they would want to become. You know, we always are moved by that. What do you want to be? I mean, I think I think of the story of the Juventa as an utopic story of the desires for the future and dreams about the future and our capacity to build the future through dreaming. I think it's one of the most important and powerful political tool, real political tool that we have. So I really realized that a film could happen when I saw the clashing of dreams from Europe and from Africa, of young 20-year-old people from both sides, and that I realized, wow, this can be a film. And then when we arrived 2 years after, when we decided to go to Sicily to meet the people we had rescued and like 2 years before, 1 year and a half before, and I was shocked because I organized the scene. I put some microphone in the room, and then they didn't meet. They met in front of the camera. I mean, I didn't want them to fake anything. So I just it was the only prepared sequence of the film in terms of sound and the technical. But it wasn't prepared. It wasn't written. It wasn't. It was all real. What was happening in front of the camera. And I was shocking when I was filming. I was behind the camera, we had two cameras, and I was shocking how they were seeing themselves. You know, in this scene, they are looking to the photos that Cesar brought them, the photographer, and these photos are really the most dramatic things we are used in our culture and in the media, like portrayed that photos. It's and that footage is the most dramatic thing that we are used to see. And immediately they see it as like the interrail photos, you know, like they were like 19 year old and they would see it like really the photos of a journey you can do with your friend when you are at school in last year of and you don't see that photos, you never saw that photos, and you say, oh wow. And you know, like the levity, the absence of weight they would put there made the counter narrative immediately, and really moved me, that sequence when I was shooting, that really moved me.
Yeah, I think it really, really moved me too, and yeah, as you say, getting that kind of counter voice. So you're talking a bit about, you know, Juventus being a narrative about dreams and essentially the dream of you know, changing society and creating a more fair world and at least a fairer Europe. So I'm wondering perhaps where you see the film within this kind of dream of creating a fairer Europe. You say that you've become a bit of an activist since you finished the film as well, with touring with it. What do you see the film as doing? What do you feel that, or hope that its impact has been on people?
Firstly, I mean, I never expected the film would have such an impact, and that would change also my perspective in terms of really becoming kind of an activist director, and so like it changed really it was the impact that had in Germany after the accusation came out of the Italian authorities against the volunteers of the Jugendrettet were, it was such powerful to can release the film at the same time of the accusation being released, being like public, and it was so important for them and to have something that would portray them in a normal way and not with this I mean vision of evil, you know, NGOs relating with the smugglers. And immediately the film had had such an importance that I never expect to be so much. I mean, I knew when I was filming on the ship that I was a witness, and for example, the captain Benedict Funke understood that from the first day and said, and I was trying to help sometimes during rescues, and he was telling me, you don't need to help, you are helping with your camera, it's so much important that you film this, because otherwise we won't have any witnessing of what we are doing and how the people are living. What you are doing is important as much as giving the hand to the migrant. And I always thanked him about this, because, you know, it was, it's not easy to understand and to, when you are in an emergency situation, understand the importance of the tool, of the camera, of writing the story or recording the story you are living. So the film toured, like, we were invited in the European Parliament. I had to do a discourse there, like a talk, I was very emotional that day, and I never expected that Juventa, I mean, I followed Juventa for 2 years and a half, and then Juventa now is taking me everywhere in the world, like talking about, we will be touring in the next month, because we won a distribution fund thanks to SIA and MIBECT and the Italian Ministry of Culture, and we will be touring in the refugee camps in Kenya, and we will be touring in Australia, New Zealand, and the film has been, we have been in November in four big cities in India, doing masterclass in important universities. And, you know, my formation is in philosophy, and I'm now finding myself teaching to students of filmmaking. So this is really something that changed a lot my personal perspective. And somehow I was chasing Juventa for 2 years, and now Juventa makes me travel. And this is, you know, it's another balance of the whole of this project. And I see the film like I hope the film can be, and that's why I'm very happy that it's been studied by people in universities. I hope the film can be. In the next years, when we'll have an historical perspective on this very revolutionary moment when civil society went at sea doing the work that Europe was supposed to do, and the European institution was doing with Mare Nostrum like a year and a half before. And I think it's the most like revolutionary situation we have lived in the last 10 years in our history. Like it was a very important moment, and I think it still is, because we're expecting a very hot new season in the Med, with a lot of ships, of rescue ships that are going against the law, I would say. So I'm very happy that I could contribute. I think this is an honor, like, to have been there. And, you know, I know all the weak points of the film and the good points of it. So, but with all its limitation, I was really happy to, I mean, this makes the sense of my work. Otherwise it doesn't make sense for me.
Fantastic. So you say that, you know, it's been to the European Commission, it's been to universities, it's being studied. I was wondering a bit about the film festivals that Juventa has been at. It's been touring some very different kinds of film festivals, which kind of intrigues me. You know, it's been to like the Salina Doc Fest, it's been at Human Rights Film Festivals, the Festival de Cine Italiano de Madrid, and also now you're saying it's going to be touring around refugee camps in Kenya, and I know there are certain film festivals dedicated just to giving screenings in these refugee camps. I was wondering if you could talk a bit about your experience of these different festivals and how you might see them also as a platform for these kinds of issues.
Thank you. Like, we had, like, actually the festival thing was really something we had to jump. We have to completely, like, because we had an instant movie. Like, we had to go out with the film once the Juventa was seized. It was impossible to wait. Usually you dedicate, if you have a film, you dedicate 1 year, you wait 1 year to do the festival, like, usual, you know, path before release it. But we had to release it because, like, in June 2018... we had a right-wing government that was closing the harbors to all the NGOs, and there were accusations everywhere, and this guy seemed to be like the devil. So we had to make a very hard choice for a filmmaker, and I was against all my producers. They would say, wait for Venice Film Festival. And I said, no, I'm not going to wait for it. Like, it was June 2018, and we had the first festival we have been, it was Biografilm, which is a small festival of documentary, but not so small, actually. It's the second for number of public, and it's in Bologna, and it's directed by Andrea Romeo, who's very, important and a distributor as well for documentaries, and they are growing a lot. So I said, okay, they took us, and I don't want to, I mean, there could be chances to go to Venice, so that was just 2 months after. But then we will lose the impact of going out and spreading the film in the summer where the fight was on. So I said, okay, guys, let's go. I mean, there is no chance for me to not release the film. I would have released it probably without any festival. I mean, like, because, you know, the festival wants the premiere, the big festival. Mm-hmm. And if you don't care about that, you are going really on the kind of, you know, you are the black sheep. And so we decided to release the film, and 1 month, it was released 18th of June, and that day in the Repubblica delle Idee in Bologna, Salvini did the hashtag harbor are closed in Italy, like he was closing the harbors to all humanitarian ships. And so we it was just half an hour before the first screening of Juventa. So we had been in time, I mean, to say something on this topic. And so that was, for me, the first priority. Then we decided to try to do as much festival as possible. But, I mean, once you had the premiere, you couldn't go in the A circuit, which is Venice, Cannes, and Berlin. And so we did many festivals around the world. We have been like opening the Human Rights Festival of Tirana in Albania, the opening film, that was a great event with the European Commission there. And then we have been to smaller festival like Salina Doc Fest and festivals also in other countries. But we try to develop a social impact distribution strategy. And for me, that wasn't going through the festivals, was going through spreading the film as much as possible. And that's why we decided to invest on, for example, on a new website in the way it's designed. It's called juventa.film, and it's done by Studio Fax, that it's an agency in London, and they were very helpful in all the design and thinking about try to make it as much as possible something that could have an impact in just 1 year. And so that was a little bit the thought about the film festival. And for example, what we are doing now in Kenya is not a film festival. We have contacted one of these big, let's say, NGO working in Kakuma, is this city in Kenya, that it's a refugee city, basically. It was a camp, a refugee camp. Now a lot of migrants living there that was forced to go south instead of north from Sudan or from other places, and so they arrived in Kenya and they're stuck there since for some all lifelong probably. And we were going there, and I mean, it's a strategy we developed. It's not that, I mean, a film festival takes us there. And so it's what we are doing in India, or what we are doing, like I with my small company and with our small resources, we decided to dedicate sometimes to the impact distribution of the film. Because afterwards, if you do a film like this and you don't do a social impact distribution, it's useless.
I can see that. So it feels like what you're saying is a bit like with, you know, not doing a feature film, you get a lot more freedom and a lot more kind of chance for activism by kind of creating your own circuits and your own networks and maybe taking advantage of other ones. So using... you know, creating social impact in a different way that perhaps film festivals and certainly perhaps the A circuit is not quite so well adapted to.
Yeah, I really believe in that. I mean, we wanted to do, and there are still a lot of ideas that we had about the film, and we didn't have resources to do it. Like during the Venice Film Festival, we thought about doing a screening on a ship, and you know, on the harbor, or like you know, some kind of guerrilla strategy, because this is something that it's important to create rumor around it. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. But what you were saying, I mean, of course you have a lot of freedom. Of course you have you are alone somehow. And so on the other side of freedom, the other side of the medal is that you have risks. So, like, I was 2 years after these guys, after the Juventa chasing the story, without any release from the protagonist of the film, because they didn't want to give me a release before seeing what I was doing. So I took, like, on me a huge production risks. You know, it's that you would never do it on a feature film, because it would cost you not just 2 years of your life and some, maybe... 10 or 20,000 euros of resources, but I'm speaking about this money just for the touring of, you know, for the shooting part of travels and the part of choosing the story. And then you could happen that the film could never go out, you know, could happen that the film could never be released. Because it's really the double side. There have been also very hard moments on this 2 years of the Juventa filming.
Yeah, like you say, it's a very double-edged sword. But it certainly, from what was happening last night, we had a screening of the film. It was very well attended, particularly for a Sunday night, and it felt like it had an impact on that audience. People seem to really relate it. So I was wondering what the reception in different contexts, what reception the film has received in your various kind of screenings around the world. Has it been, you know, similar? Has there been kind of different receptions in different contexts?
This is a very good question. Since the first screening we had in Bologna, I was shocked, because we started getting long letters of like 20-year-old students. I have this letter published on the Juventa page on Facebook, and I was crying the first time. Like, there were this young student, she was saying, "You are really made me hopeful again. Like, this story made me understand that something is still possible. And I never, like, I knew that the story was powerful, otherwise I wouldn't do such a film, but I never expected how the generation of 20s would react to something like this, because I'm not anymore like in that generation, and they are reacting like when we did the projection in schools, like in secondary schools, or it was amazing. Like, people would come to me and saying, thank you, you gave me back the, you know, some critical mind in terms of, I remember these two guys in, after a screening in Spoleto, and it was a screening that attended 400 students. They decided to screen Juventa during one of the assembly of the school, and they would come to me and they told me, and there were two guys very shy, and they told me, you made us understand what politics is, and you collaborated to create our political conscience, and say, wow, guys, this is so much, and this is and so really, like, the impact on the people has been surprising, like completely shocking for me, because like it was needed. I mean, films like that gives you back hope that we still can do something, are needed, because people now are feel helpless and lonely, and so we need to examples that, and this was exactly why I wanted to do this film. I really understood that this was something to amplify for the better of our society, and I think it's I mean, just the last thing about audience, I was in India in November. And we did the screening in one of the cultural centers in Delhi. And I always remember the first question, because it was shocking for me as in terms of how different cultures would see the film. And the first question that usually, like, it never happened in Europe. And they told me, who were they saving? The migrants or themselves? I said, no, guys, you understood everything. Like, I arrived to that point after 2 years after I finished the movie, about how much of the, let's say, of rescuing, of the volunteers are really rescuing themselves before rescuing the migrants, or while rescuing the migrants and the people at sea, they are rescuing their values, their... But I didn't have it clear, so much clear after, you know, after the mission or after finishing the film. It was more depth in depth thinking about the whole story that made me arrive to that questions. But they immediately, like in India, got the most deep, I think, vision of the film. So it was really surprising. That gives the sense of such a work and doing. Otherwise, I mean, for me, it's not. It's part of the film, like going in. Let's say confronting with the audience. It's really part of a documentary film, I think.
Well, there's some really fascinating stories there. I suppose one last question. I did promise I would. Quiz you a bit on something that you said last night, and something that you said also during this interview is that Juventa is not a film about migration. And I suppose from my perspective, as someone who studies or is starting to study what we might call an emerging canon of migration cinema, films about migration that since about 2010, especially documentaries, are getting more and more kind of attention and distribution and things like that. I thought it was very intriguing to hear you say, you know, this film was about something else, and to position your film perhaps as counter to that canon that's emerging. So I was wondering if I could ask, you know, how you see films about migration and how you see Juventa as being different.
Wow, okay. First, I just want to say that I'm not a theorist, and of course I saw many films on this topic, and but I never like had really the perspective of you know, a critic on this. Like, of course, I had to position myself. So I can speak about this. Like before doing Juventa, I saw many films about migration, and I always thought that the narration was kind of most of the time made to provoke, rhetoric in some way. And I thought that rhetoric was going in the opposite, like maybe the director would want to have an effect, and then on the other side would have a different, if with rhetoric, I mean, it's not always that you get the desired effect. So I really hate when you have this mechanism that makes you emotional and that drives you. Documentary is a very powerful form because you believe it's real, you know. But of course, it's not the reality at 100% because there is the editing, because there is I decide to shoot, or I decide as a director what you can see or what you can't, and so it's that's why like a form of mockumentary, as the mockumentaries are so powerful, because really it's a way of fiction how fiction film use the structure of documentary to make you feel much more into the story. And I think that is a good lesson for everybody that studies documentary to study the mockumentary side of it. And so about this topic of migration, I mean, I really never thought of Juventa. I never thought I want to do a film on migration. Like when I was a student of philosophy and I went in US with I was filming, I started filming very young, and I was filming in Peru a very intense story of murders and blood, and then I was speaking with one Iranian producer, big Iranian producer in New York that I wanted to meet, and he allowed, I mean, he invited me for lunch, and I asked him about the project I was doing, and he said, Michele, you shall do stories that you are related with. You shall do stories that speaks to you and that you can say something about it. So that's why I'm saying it's not a film on migration, because I'm not on the other side. And I think somehow we can portray this story only from our side. And it's important. It was one of the biggest lessons in cinema that I had that day. Like I didn't, of course, as usually you don't realize that when it happens, but you think of that years after. And so I was really related to this loss of capacity to act in our reality. My generation was the generation that was in Genova in 2001, and I have many friends that after that never had any political activity anymore. And we really lose the capacity of thinking that we can influence reality, that we could influence reality, that we could change the world we are living in. And I think what shocked me was that this bunch of students from Germany didn't have that feeling. They had the courage and they had the will to change society. Of course, they could have been naive, but for sure they were different from us. So that it was something I was related with. That's what I'm saying. It's not a film on migration because I'm not on the other side. And about the whole narration on this topic, I can say that there are very good films that not go in the rhetorical direction, but the main, like, let's say, reportage from television and the main narrative, it's a narrative that actually go in the opposite direction and doesn't humanize the migrants and the refugees and the people who are fleeing from wars and from they are doing the opposite work, you know, of seeing them as numbers as and not as human beings. So I'm it's a very complicated situation in which start a narration, and that's also why I'm saying it's not a film on migration.
Fantastic, that's a perfect answer, really, really interesting. You say about numbers, and it reminds me of this one scene in Fuoco a Mare, of course, the quintessential Italian film on migration at the moment, where there's the cameras aligned with the photographer, and it's an official photographer taking a picture of a refugee next to a number. And yeah, as it's filming him, the number is clashing with the migrant's face. And it's really that sense of seeing them as numbers rather than, you know, real people. And there's been a big debate about whether or not Fuoco a Mare manages to traverse that, which is something I think Juventus does incredibly well.
Yeah, it's a completely different movie, and of course, I mean, it was the film that made the, let's say, the standard, the highest results in terms of distribution, and it was everywhere. And I mean, I have a real, I think Rossi is a very talented and wise and enlightened director. But it's not my way of doing films. It's a very formal way of narration, and everything is written. And Juventa was really a full immersion in the story. It's how I like to do films. It's you really, you know, swim in the reality, and you can lose yourself, of course. But you have to leave what you want to tell to me, if you want to do a film in the way I believe the observational documentary is, and my way of perceiving the art of filmmaking.
Fantastic. Well, if it were up to me, we'd keep talking about this for about another hour, but I believe that we're going to have to finish now. So, Michele Cinque, thank you so much for this interview, for talking to us about Juventa, your film. It's been fantastic having you.
Thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure. To go in depth is not so often it happens, so thank you very much for this occasion.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Goodbye.